I'd like you to see a portrait today. I'd like you to look at a picture as you can imagine it this morning, whether you got it right in front of you or maybe right here, wherever you have it. I want you to look at a portrait of Jesus this morning. And I want the word to come to our minds and our hearts, compassion. Today I want us to look at the compassion of Jesus. Certainly an important attribute and quality and trait of Jesus himself. Over the last few months, we've been in a series about the powerful words and deeds of Jesus, and we've looked at some of his great stories and some of his parables and some of his interactions with people, and we realize that Jesus is a great and a mighty teacher. He's a teacher that we should learn from. And so when we look at the portrait this morning of the compassion of Jesus, I would hope that we can learn from it and we can hear the heart of God and we can see something about who Jesus is and how Jesus related to people that can help us to understand how God feels about us, how God feels about you, how God looks at you, how Jesus looked at people when he walked the earth, and how today, even in this day, God looks down and sees you and what God feels about you. We are called to follow Jesus, to be like him, to hear his heart, to read his words, to see his attitude, and to be like him. And so the best thing that we can do to grow closer to God is to be like Jesus. We read in the scriptures that Jesus is the perfect replica of the Father. We know that Jesus came to show us the Father, show us the heart of God, show us the love of God. And so as we look at Jesus and we look into who he is, it helps us to understand. That means that we've got to pick up a cross and follow him. We've got to make the conscious choice of following Jesus and seeking Jesus and saying, I want to know who Jesus is. I want to understand the stories. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart today about what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago. I want to speak this morning about one of the most clear and overriding attributes of Jesus. There are a lot of things to think about and focus on and study about who Jesus is, but what I want to focus on this morning, I want to focus on the quality of his compassion. You could call this quality an absolute basic of the Christian faith. There's something about what Jesus teaches us about compassion that helps us understand what real religion is in the eyes of God. What does it really mean to honor God with our thoughts and our attitudes and the way that we respond to people around us? This is one of those qualities that are absolutely basic to the Christian faith. Sometimes it's good to go back to the basics. And here on the last Sunday of 2014, that's what I want to do. I want to go back to a basic of what it means to be a God-following person. What does it mean to be following Jesus with your heart and with your life? I want to talk about compassion and how we begin with the compassion of Jesus as a core value of what it means to understand the heart of God. We see Jesus' compassion throughout his ministry. Everything Jesus did, he was reaching out and caring for people. Sometimes his words were gentle. Sometimes they were hard for people to hear. But he had a deep love for people and he wanted to see them do better. He wanted to see them change. Jesus had a deep love to help people, and everything he did, it was to help the people around him. Wherever people were, Jesus went to meet their needs. Whatever they were doing, whatever paths he crossed them, when Jesus saw someone that has a need, he reached out to meet it. At the very core of the Christian faith is a heart of compassion for people. We cannot understand the heart of God without understanding the compassion of the Son of God. We see the compassion of Jesus coming out of every story in the Gospels, just like Jesus coming out of the Bible and putting his arms around people and understanding their needs. That's who Jesus is. He has a way of coming out of the pages of the print that's in the Bible and helping you to understand and feel that God is real. Jesus is real. Jesus was always finding ways to connect to people, to connect to their deepest needs. He knew what people said, but he knew further than that what people really needed. The Gospels show us that Jesus was a living, breathing God who cared deeply about needs. Jesus is found over and over again throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels. He's always helping people that are hurting. He's always embracing people that need it. He's restoring people that are fallen. He's lifting people up. He's spending time with people that others don't care about. He's spending time with people who can't give anything back. He was always just loving the people that came across his life. We know that he forgave people who did not deserve and only deserved judgment. Some of his last words on the cross are the example of a great compassion and mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the very end, our portrait is of one of great compassion. He was patient. He was kind. He was merciful. He was able to care about people who had gone very far away from him. Jesus is described as being filled with compassion. I want you to think of that word today. Jesus was filled with compassion. What does it mean that he was filled? I understand that the word used here, the Greek word, it's only used twice to describe Jesus in the New Testament, the word filled. He was filled with compassion. I want you to know the other place where this word is used to describe what Jesus was filled with. It also says Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. The same word is filled with compassion. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he was filled with compassion. When we are filled with the fullness of God's Spirit, we will be filled with compassion. When we have all of God's Spirit in our heart and our lives, when we have all that God has for us and our hearts are humbled and open and receptive and responsive, he puts a spirit inside of us that allows us and helps us to love people the way God wants us to. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was filled with compassion. He is our example. Looking at the many times and places that we read about the compassion of Jesus in the New Testament, one scripture says, as he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it and he was filled with compassion. When Jesus was looking down into Jerusalem, we're told that he saw the city and he saw the people and he was filled with a compassion about them. In Matthew chapter 9, we read of another time when he was looking at the crowds. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But then he connects it to us and he says, the next thing he says, so therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that will send workers into the field. Jesus sees the needs of people in his generation. He sees the needs of people in our generation. And he says, pray that people will go out and be those hands and feet of Jesus that meets the need around them. Jesus cared deeply about lost people. We see in the heart of Jesus and in his teaching how much he cared about lost people. He told three parables in a row, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep. And in that story, Jesus tells the story of what God is like. What is God's heart? And God's heart is like that. There's 99 sheep that are found, but there's one that's missing. And what does God care about the one? He goes out until he finds, and he joyfully puts the lamb on his shoulders and comes in. Jesus is teaching us something about what it means to be compassionate, what it means about looking at people in our lives, some who are doing well and some that are not doing well. Then there's the story, the parable of the prodigal son. In that parable, Jesus describes the heart of God toward people. And if you know that story, you know that the son had left the father and taken and spoiled the inheritance. And all the time, the father was waiting back, waiting and waiting and hoping that the son would come back. And then it says that when the son finally realizes he had it better off before, he comes back home, it says, while he was still far away, meaning the son was coming back, the father looks out and it says in the story, Jesus' words are this, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And so he ran with his arms out and he embraced him. That is the portrait of who Jesus is. He is a loving father who runs toward people, who has his arms out toward people, no matter how far they've fallen, no matter how bad they've done. That's the portrait of Jesus. His Father was filled with compassion. That's a core value of who Jesus is. Jesus had compassion for all kinds of people. We read in the Gospels that He had compassion for people that were hungry. When the multitudes came to hear Him and He realized they were hungry, it's interesting that one of the stories says He had compassion on them because they were hungry. He cared about their physical needs. Jesus had compassion on people that were oppressed. Jesus showed compassion in the Gospels on the poor people, on the stranger. Jesus had a deep passion or compassion for people that were hurting. We see in the stories of the Gospels a picture of a Jesus who understands when people grieve, when people go through loss, when people are lonely. We think of how can possibly Jesus do all these things? He's the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, with a heart full of love, and so He could see the needs of people. And it says He had a deep compassion. You remember the story of when Lazarus died, and so Jesus took His time, but He made His way finally to Bethany, and there He found Mary and Martha, and when He began to talk to the women, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and also it's not in the text, but and He saw the other Jews around them weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus wept. Do you realize that Jesus feels emotions for me and you and for our world? It's hard to picture and understand how can God, an infinite God, have emotions, but the reality is He does. We know that from several stories, one of them being from the story of Noah and how God's heart was filled with pain because of the sin of the world, and other places that show us that God can feel. Jesus certainly could feel. He was fully God and fully man, and He could understand the pain of Mary and Martha. Maybe if you're going through a loss in your life, I want you to know that God right now, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, understands what you feel. He understands your loneliness. He has compassion for you. He cares deeply for you. Jesus was moved, it says. Jesus had deep feelings. Jesus is able to relate to our feelings. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says it like this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We have a picture here of a Jesus who has endured and has gone through the things that we feel. And He's a loving, loving Savior who cares deeply and reaches out from heaven today to meet needs and to encourage and to help us. I think of another category of the compassion of Jesus, and there are many. I'm just naming a few of them this morning. Jesus had great compassion for the untouchable people of His day. Might not realize, unless you get into the culture of the day, how significant it was that Jesus reached His hands out and touched the lepers. I mean, that doesn't seem that big of a deal maybe to us. But in Jesus' day, that was absolutely undoable. You do not touch lepers. What did He do? He just went right over to them. He put His hands on them. See the portrait this morning of Jesus. He's worthy of our worship and praise and admiration, an example. He touched the untouchables. He loved the unlovable. He loved the unclean. He was called the friend of sinners. The kind of people that most of the people in His day would have avoided. He loved people wherever they were and whoever they are. That's the portrait of Jesus that I see in 2014. That's my portrait. In His parables, Jesus taught us to see people different than the world does. In his parables and his words, Jesus teaches us to reach across those barriers that might keep us from loving people with the absolute agape love of God. The portrait of Jesus in 2014 reminds us that Jesus wants us to love people for who they are. Another parable, the Good Samaritan. Listen to these words. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I mean, that's a nice story, but you realize this is Jesus telling the story. Jesus telling us what's important. Jesus telling us what he wants from us. Jesus used that word, and he had compassion on him. And then at the end of that parable, the last four words of that story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, there's four words that are important. The last four words of the parable are this: go and do likewise. But whatever you get from the portrait of Jesus, know that he wants you to live that way and see people that way and love people that way. Another thing that Jesus did out of his compassion is he restored people's dignity. He did not stand off to the side and talk about them and complain about them and talk about how bad the world was and how bad people were and all the negative things that he could have got off on what he did and she did and they did and why they have messed up and where they're at. You never hear Jesus doing that. He's always trying to lift people up out of where they're at and restore dignity to their lives. I think of the woman at the well of Samaria. How he knew all about her, knew all about her husbands and all about her life and all that. And what does he do? He gives to her dignity and care and love. That's the portrait of Jesus I see. And then there's the woman who's caught in adultery in John chapter 8. They brought her and they threw her in front of Jesus and said she was caught in adultery. And the law says we should kill her, stone her. What do you say, Jesus? What do we get in the portrait? We get a different picture. We get a portrait of how God sees people that's different sometimes than ours is. Be challenged this morning by the portrait in John chapter 8 of the mercy and the compassion of Jesus. What Jesus said in that story, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse thee, one translation says. Neither do I condemn thee. Then he said, go and sin no more. Jesus cares deeply about restoring people and forgiving and cleansing people. He cares deeply about lifting them up. He cares deeply about helping people out. Jesus valued mercy greatly. Mercy and compassion are very close words. They convey some of the same basic things in their meanings. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know how important in this portrait of the compassion of Jesus to also understand the role of mercy and what mercy means. And thank you for your testimony, Shannon, about mercy. How important mercy is for you to have toward people. How important it is to have that attribute of mercy in the way you look at people. Take a look at Jesus. He said in one place, and go and learn what it meaneth. Jesus was all about life, all about repentance, all about the kingdom of heaven. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said that, look at me, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his whole life. He gave it all the way to his last drop of blood on the cross, the Son of God, in order that we could be restored to the fullness of the love and the holiness of God. Jesus' compassion is shown on the cross. It's shown because he lived a perfect life and did nothing wrong, but he was willing to go and to die for you and I for our sins. And Isaiah chapter 53 says that like a lamb he went to the slaughter. It says that all we like sheep have gone astray and everyone has turned to their own way. But God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's another picture in the portrait of Jesus, 2014. It's that lamb that took your sin and mine. He died for your sins. He died so that we could be forgiven and we can be restored, and all those things that he did for people, that they could be cleansed. He died so that that woman in John chapter 8 could go and sin no more. He gave his life so every one of us can have life in him. That's the story of a great God of compassion. Whether it was one person, whether it was the father of the daughter who was desperately crying out to Jesus for help, or the family of a lost loved one, or the multitude on the side of the hill, Jesus loved people. And he gave his life for every single one of them. The reality also in this portrait of 2014 of Jesus in my mind is that he died for you and he died for me. His death was more than just a story. It is the difference between life and being separated from God. And so he offers life to us this morning. He offers through this great portrait of who he is, this great portrait of the mercy and the compassion and the love of God and the power of Jesus on the cross. In Matthew chapter 25, I read earlier at the beginning, toward the beginning of the service, it says in verse 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you've done for me. God calls you and me to understand the compassion of Jesus. He calls you and I to respond to the compassion of Jesus, to accept him as Lord and Savior, to know that he is the only Lord that we can have in this life. Jesus is the only one that can be in control of our lives and us be right with God. We must see who Jesus is. We must respond to him. This great picture that I have, this portrait of Jesus, the end of 2014, you have a great God who's done it all for you. He's done it all for me. But we've got to take him at his word. We've got to take God at his word. We've got to hear the heart of God and respond to him. Jesus said, he who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I want you to know today, if there's a need in your heart, God speaking to your heart about any need in your heart, what you've got to do is come to Jesus. He alone can meet the need in your life. He can help you to sort it out. He can take things in your life and he can change them. That's the kind of Jesus that reaches out his arms and says, I love you. Come to me. He said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and humble of heart. I want you to know that Jesus is the most important decision and person that you can possibly base your life on. That's a picture of Jesus 2014. 1 John chapter 2 says, go to that last one, would you please, Crystal? This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. There's no other way. There's no other way to life eternal. There's no other way to the heart of God but through who Jesus is. Would you stand with me as we pray?